And for Black Shoe Diary podcast number 3, we are here with Media Day Ninja and Black Shoe Diary blogger and all-around fantastic young man, Benjamin Jones. How are you, sir?
Hey, how's it going? I like the intro.
Well, you're clearly deserving of it because you are our on-campus slave to the blog, yeah. Responsible for all content originating from Happy Valley, because the rest of us are old and departed and nowhere near as skilled as you in talking to players like Andrew Goodman about Goodfellas.
I don't think he expected me to do that. I walked up to him and he was so confused and I was like, I told you I was coming for you.
We'll get to him in a second. I just want to have you tell everybody about basically a day in the life of a schlep at Media Day, because this isn't your career yet. Someday it will be. But a lot of people have been doing this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years even. Take us through your day, starting from, you know, showing up at Lash or wherever it was that you reported to. And, What was the process when you showed up?
Yeah, I got to Hollywood Hall around noon or so, and they've got these check-in tables. So I go inside, and I'm like, well, I need my credentials. They're like, well, we don't have your credentials. So I just stood there and talked to people. And it turns out that they don't even really check to see if you've got anything. Like, if I had just shown up in a polo shirt and binoculars, they would have never stopped me. Like,
and that is probably a standard beat reporter uniform.
Yeah, pretty. I mean, I had camo shorts on, like a striped polo, and a Flyers hat. Like, I could have been anybody. And they're like, "Well, just come sit down." Like, I can only imagine the sort of things we could have gotten in there if we had known that the security would have been at negative zero.
So you eventually get your credentials, or do they never even bother?
They didn't have ours yet. I guess they like take them in a rolling application. So we get ours at some point. Like all things Penn State, they'll just take your information whenever they can get it.
It'll show up when it shows up.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, you're not even on the list. I was like, well, I RSVP'd. And they're like, well, okay, whatever.
Good. I like that. I like that system.
Yeah. So just like messing around. It's pretty cool because a lot of the people that you read are there. Like Nate Bauer's there and doing Nate Bowery things. Like he was pretty much eating. and Ryan Jones is there and Jeff Rice. So I went and bothered them for a while. And some of our favorite radio personalities were checking out the Big Ten women.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I won't say any names, but it's an idea machine.
And what was this idea machine doing?
He was checking out the defensive ends from like the waist down.
Okay, very good.
I don't know if anyone will figure that one out, but it's probably better that way because I think my mom's going to listen to this.
So once you're sort of led into I assume you're going into the general hall where what they have the player interviews first?
Yeah, well, they put us on the field in Hollywood Hall, and we had to stand there for an hour. Like the players didn't even show up until 1:20, but they didn't actually show up until 1:30.
So what the hell do you do for an hour?
You eat a lot of donuts.
Tell me about, okay, let's get the important
snacks
stuff.
What kind of snacks
on snacks? What kind of food do they have there? I want the important stuff here.
They got chips, lots and lots of Lay's. They had the mother load. It was just like a whole cooler full of chips, which was like the most confusing thing I've ever seen. And water in a garbage can. It was just like an empty garbage can they filled with water and ice and then just threw water bottles in.
And it's the worst picnic ever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like the thing they used to ice their feet in after practice. They just like emptied it out and refilled it with water for us to drink. They had like peaches.
Peaches? Really?
Yeah. And there was like,
random.
Like a fruit basket in the middle. You could like tell who was one of those like health gurus, because there was all this just like mayonnaise in these huge like buckets and carrots and dip and stuff like that. And then there'd always be these people that would come over and like poke all the apples to find the one that was like the right consistency and take that and eat it. There's like one guy, he probably ate like 4 apples in a half an hour span just standing in the corner. Nobody talked to him, but
if you could just, if you, and I If you can describe the general physical appearance of a Penn State beat reporter, it would be.
It's pretty much everybody. I would say the majority of them are middle aged, perhaps a little portly. They're wearing their battle scars well. Many a day on the couch, watching sports. I already know I'm in for it. So
you see a future in this?
Yeah, it's like I just have to find the guy who's like 15 years older than me, about the same size, and I know what I'm aiming for.
You're just peering into the future.
Yeah.
All right. So the players eventually come in.
Yeah, they come out, and I actually got a text from one of the interns that was out on the field, and he's like, "I'll give you $5 when the team comes out if you just sprint onto the field, like out in front of everyone, just like full on sprint out into the field to tackle somebody."
I'm from the internet. This is very serious.
Yeah, I was like, "Excuse me, guys, I have a blog to fill. you don't understand." But yeah, they pretty much released the team and the media at the same time, and these guys, we run out to meet these people, and the team comes out at like a 90 degree angle from us, and they just circle around to like these buckets with the position names on them.
Okay.
And it was like some National Geographic stuff, because they were like sharking around us. I think I made some dude retake his videotape because I was like, "Watch out, they'll go for the weak ones." It's like,
here we have the defensive backs in their natural habitat.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like I was on planet Earth or something like that. I was about to get eaten by somebody's mustache.
So, okay, you, what's the process then? Is it just a free-for-all where you run up to a random player and be like, "Hey, can I talk to you for 15 seconds?
Pretty much. Like, I already knew, since this is the first time I'd done one of these things, that I wasn't going to go for a big name right away. So no offense to Mike Wallace. I was like, "Well, I'll talk to Mike Wallace then." So,
well, you know you can get him.
Yeah, I was like, "Well, nobody's going to be talking to him.
Like, you're not going to have to elbow Rich Scarcella in the gut to get
to
Mike Wallace."
So I just, like, walked over to him, and I was like, "Can I talk to you?" And I was half expecting him to say no, just because that would have been the ultimate awkward moment. It's like, I got turned down today by a football player at Media Day.
You got rejected at Media Day.
It was awful. I just, like, pulled him over to the side, and I was like, "Do you mind if I tape us doing this?" And that's like exactly what I said, which might not have been like the best words to use. I was like, "While we do this, can I tape us doing it?"
So you're holding the camera in one hand.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, I want to get a good point of view on here. And you talk to him a little bit because you don't want to like just jump him and start making him answer questions and everything. But they're all pretty cool about it.
Throw a camera in his face. "Tell me about Primary Element."
Exactly. He's like, "So when's the next album?"
Has Chuck D and Flavor Flav sued you yet? Acronym infringement.
But it's not that bad. You have to kind of fight through like cameramen who think they're working for Anderson Cooper. They're like swan diving into like piles of reporters just trying to get like the perfect angle of Rob Bolden, as if seeing him from the left will. It's like, he's lying. I can tell. They always lie from the left hand side.
Now, were you in the area when Joe Paterno rolled up on his golf cart?
Yeah, I was actually.
I need this in painstaking detail. Was the entire press corps just like, "You have to be shitting me"? Or
well, when we got there, they had like these bleachers, like we were going to watch a Little League game set up, and they were like, "Well, what's going on here?" And they're setting up these microphones, and we're like, "Oh, Joe's going to talk." And they like taped out this like this parking spot, and I think that everybody's like, "Oh, son of a bitch, I know it's gonna happen." And before we figured that out, I just sat down in the front row because I thought I was just gonna leave my stuff there and go. And I realized I was gonna get like run over by Joe. The last thing I needed was him to have some golf cart road rage. Just take me out. He's like, "Well, that's not my problem."
They use a speed bump. He goes flying out of it.
Yeah. Well, we were joking around that if he drove in and got like pissed off at the questions, he was just like, "I'm out of here," and just like floors it away. which if I had taped that, would have made the greatest GIF ever.
Yes.
That would have won the internet.
I'm a little upset that he didn't roll in with, like, some sort of novelty air horn attached to the golf cart, like playing Dixie or, you know, sort of like the Dukes of Hazzard, something in that realm.
Or if he had, like, one of those horns that they put on the ice cream trucks.
Yes. Perfect.
He's like, come on, kids, free candy. But he rolled in through, like, one of those big old elephant doors they have on the side of the building. And they had, like, cameramen on each side of them. It was pretty royal wedding-like. I don't want to admit to have watched any of that, but...
We'll pretend that you didn't.
Yeah, I heard about it. That's all.
As the only guy in America who prefers Kate to Pippa, I will I will pretend that neither one of us saw any of it.
Yeah, I won't. Don't ask, don't tell.
So you're in the? Are you still in the front row when he starts his press conference?
I was in the front row when he was getting ready to come in, but then Lisa Salters showed up, and she like tried to sit on my lap, which. Like, I wasn't against.
But, no, that's pretty good.
But I couldn't see because she was on my lap. I was like, excuse me, your hair is in my way. And there was, like, no real bad vantage point. So we just backed up, like, three rows. And it provided me with the chance to videotape Joe rolling in through the door.
Another very important question. How tall is Lisa Salters? Because she played basketball at Penn State, right?
I think I got a picture of her and Davon Smith, and I think she's taller than he is. So, okay. Yeah, she's probably, like, 6 foot-ish or so.
Okay, because I didn't know if she was, like, 6'3", 6'4".
No, I'm taller than she is.
Okay, well, you're, like, 6'4".
Yeah, I mean, I'm taller than a lot of people. Somebody, right. Actually, I think somebody mentioned that I only interviewed short people.
That's good. It's a good strategy.
Yeah, I like to intimidate.
I only hang out with 300-pound people. I learned that from Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School, which is another movie you probably never saw.
Yeah, I was getting crushed on not having seen Goodfellas.
You got to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to not to tell people how old I am because I feel like when everyone finds out, they're like, oh, well, that hurts your credibility. Because I know that the kid that took over for me at Victory Bell Rings is still in high school.
Is he really?
Yeah. Because when I was looking for another writer, he emailed me, and we, like, exchanged emails, and, like, three emails in, he's like, and by the way, I'm a freshman.
I'm in ninth grade.
Oh, God.
So he actually was in ninth grade.
This is probably illegal.
Yes. Chris Hansen will be seeing you now.
If Chris Hansen wasn't so busy cheating on his wife, he would have busted me.
Yes. You could have a seat over there.
Yeah.
Put down the wine coolers. Have a seat over there. What's the best thing we missed off camera that you didn't get?
Best thing. I wish I had gotten Joe talking about that girl's legs and backside. That was pretty hilarious.
Go through that again for us.
He was like, he's just talking about this. I don't even remember how it started. He was talking about working with people or the coaching staff and how they like get along. Like, I'm not sure why he brought that up, but you know, it's Joe. He'll talk about whatever he feels like. And he's talking about some girl in a cubicle where he used to work. And he does this thing where he, like, leans over in the golf cart and, like, he's, like, pretending to look at her butt. It's like, wow, this is really happening right now. He's like, yeah, she was just a few rows down from me. And then, like, a semester in or so, she got this big sheet of plywood so he couldn't look at her legs anymore.
Oh my God.
I would love – I wish I had video of that just because I'd love to compare it. To the official transcript.
Yeah, I'm guessing that didn't make it in.
Yeah, they're like, and Joe talked about some coworkers.
Joe Paterno talked about a person. Moving on.
Female counterpart.
I'm trying to think what else we can cover here. Who was your favorite interview up there? Mike Wallace seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, Mike Wallace is a cool guy. He's friendly. But I think I probably enjoyed interviewing Nate Stupar, but mostly for my own sake, because I've known Nate since middle school. Like, we went to the same middle school and had a lot of classes together, and like, I helped him out. He was one of the leads in the Music Man in middle school, which
interesting. Is interesting
to think about him standing up and singing Frank Sinatra, but That was sort of cool for me, just because I've known him all these years. He actually speared me through a bush once.
Did he really?
I have that going for him, because I had a question ready to ask him. I was going to be like, so you speared me through a bush once. I was wondering what you had planned for your future, because I might try and sell that memory for money. But
you should have told him that you're going to return the favor sometime when he least expects it. You're going to be walking past the hub, and skinny 6'4 Ben Johns is going to come, you know, blindsiding you.
Just run across. Run across. I'm coming for you, Nate. I asked Matt McGloin off camera, or I was going to ask him if he didn't get the starting job, if he would take up the regional manager position at Dunder Mifflin. But I decided he looked like he was having a long day.
Yeah, I imagine that wasn't a pleasant experience for either one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're handling it. I would say Bolden got more of the attention than Matt did, but I guess that's kind of to be expected, because he's got a different sort of storyline than...
That's true.
I mean, everybody wants to know, like, what the hell is he doing this week?
Baiting him into throwing his dad under the bus.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, does your dad pick your breakfast while you're at school, or is he making your bed for you? Is he picking out your clothes?
Your dad before or after you go to the bathroom? Yeah, he handled it pretty well. He looks a lot. I don't know. It's hard to explain. He just looks more of the part than he did last year. I mean, I wasn't at media day, but he had a lot of deer in the headlights at times, I think, and he looks a lot more confident. I think Matt's being less of an ass than he was. He admitted that in our, like, we took a Joe Paterno class together, and he was pretty candid about some things, but he mentioned, like he felt like he didn't handle the media the way he should have at times. He didn't really allude to anything, but I imagine he's thinking about, like, calling Rob a good backup and things like that. But
right.
Yeah.
And that was, actually, you know, regardless of their respective ages, McGloin being a little bit older, neither one of them had really been through that.
Yeah,
sort of cauldron.
Yeah, because you got to think that Matt never expected to be in the center of attention going into that season.
And I don't think that Matt never expected to take a snap.
Yeah, probably not. And then just to get thrown into all of that, especially with the attitude that he's got, sort of abrasive. He actually mentioned the whole Twitter fiasco.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he was like telling us a story about, he's like, I'm not really sure what's up with that, but there's like some whole hashtag called dick associated with me.
One thing I learned from that fiasco is never search for the hashtag team dick, because you're going to get a lot of things you don't expect.
Yeah.
People who are on team dick that you are not really interested in.
Like not really looking for that.
No.
Like Twitter has Craigslist. You just have to look for it.
It's true. Now people are going to be searching for it. One last thing. Who really impressed you, either physically or during an interview, or, you know, somebody that you saw up there that you're just like, oh, my God, that's somebody who's ready to kill people in the fall?
Well, I always kind of have an affinity of running away from Jack Crawford.
I think that's a wise decision.
I feel like everybody, like, he's a really nice guy. He's a really nice guy, but he just, like, when you look like, it's like that part in Alien when the thing just busts out of that guy's stomach during dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of has that face. Like, I'm about to just destroy the world. But I'd say Still looks huge. He's a big guy. You see him and you kind of, like, wonder how you would block him or how you would get, like, around him at all. And I have no idea.
Yeah, he's on a 13-game interview to make a lot of money this year, so...
Yeah.
Hopefully all of his tweets match up to his work ethic and his results on the field, because that's the guy that we're going to need him. We're going to need him and a lot of other guys in that defensive line, including Jack Crawford. So
yeah,
let's hope they scare opponents a little bit this year too.
Yeah, they should do that thing from Little Giants where they all put the Alka-Seltzer in their mouth. Just like, foam it up.
We have rabid dogs on the line.
Actually, you gotta get Jack Crawford to take his helmet off and Alka-Seltzer just be like, do we play Illinois this year?
We do.
Just like run over to the sidelines and scream in Ron Zook's face and then just run back. He's like, guys, we're done. This game is over. You're not even going out there. There's no point.
Ben Jones, thank you very much for being our on-campus guy this year. You did a wonderful job. Everybody appreciates it. Readers, myself, the rest of the writing staff, your mother, who is hopefully still listening. And we can't wait to send you into more uncomfortable positions this fall.
Oh, I look forward to the uncomfortable position.
All right. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. See you.